The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yay!
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Niners win 23-20. Jake Moody at the buzzer. What's up, gents? Willard and Dibs in the house.
Yeah.
It's a crossover.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Get to the nitty-gritty.
Appreciate it.
Go ahead.
In football, it's at the gun because they used to fire a gun. There's no buzzer in football. So if you want to be accurate and welcome home, welcome back, it's at the gun. Coming up in 5 minutes, I defend you, but right now I correct you.
Okay.
It's at the gun.
And before we go knee-deep into football,
okay,
I just wanted to say that whoever the hell you were on the phone in Washington,
oh my God,
was my favorite version of you,
yes,
that I've ever met,
oh,
in my entire life.
Dude, look at how mad Guru is right now.
The fact that you flew back east,
wow,
and called the pregame show,
keep going,
and within moments of me just being like, hey, what do you think people out there are thinking of Jordan Poole?
Hey, Sweden.
The fact that within 3 seconds, it occurred to you to just be like, I'm just going to start walking around in the street and talking to people.
So great.
And you start,
not on air, though.
On air.
Oh, on air. Live on air.
Yeah. It's like, ever. Hey, you. Hey, you. What do you think of Jordan Poole?
You didn't tell us that part early. Like,
oh, yeah. I gave him everything I had.
The Odyssey app. All you have to do is tune in.
I'm addicted to that version of signing.
This man.
Oh, I'm on the search.
MG,
this man,
Becky,
was waiting for his daughter and her fiance to come back,
okay,
from their apartment.
Right.
And so he had time to kill. And we had questions about Jordan Poole. And Steiny said, you know what? Let me be man on the street. And so he went out. He's like, these people look Swedish. Hey, what do you think about Jordan Poole?
Whoa,
and he's like, well.
Wow. They went, yeah.
Yeah. He asked about 5 different groups, and then he became self-aware, and he shut it down. But for 4 minutes, he was the best possible version of Matt Simon's friction.
Unprompted.
No,
we didn't ask him to do that.
Dude,
just
amazing.
Our show thread got a text saying, hey, I'll pop on. Evan and I doing the show, and
that was the next day.
And we're like, he's coming on, not knowing he went Dan Rather with you guys on assignment.
Well, no, yeah, he
look how ashamed he looked, and then he stood us
more
up
like Charles Osgood.
No,
he gave us
everything he had, and then he had nothing left.
Yep,
wow,
so
pretty accurate,
yeah. You know what I mean? It's like there's no load management with this guy.
No,
man, that's incredible.
I
gotta find the audio. Going to talk to people on the street.
Just like
nobody had
anything
to say.
Beneath you. But he was a social butterfly.
And you had a piece of pepperoni pizza in your hand while this was happening?
No, it hadn't. It was waiting for me inside.
Oh, it was waiting?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh.
He put his pizza on hold for us.
That's wow. And the listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, now we can get to it.
It was pretty great.
Have you ever done a show where you feel like what you've meant to say gets misconstrued for what you said?
I've never done a show where that's not the case.
Listen, I had to fight Evan and Steiny. Yesterday's game was exciting as hell.
That's not what I heard from 10 to 2.
I needed a shout. Oh, that's the.
Cheers.
It's a water. It's a sparkly water. No, he tries to pass it off like he's some sort of tough guy.
Why?
It's annoying.
I'm not passing anything off as anything. I'm simply opening a beverage.
Why do you do it in the mic?
Because it's a sound that people enjoy.
It's a sound that people enjoy when it's an alcoholic beverage.
It's just a sound. And then they can interpret it to mean whatever
Stiney,
they want
they
to them.
You, baby.
It's a sound that brings about a certain level of joy to people, which is all we're trying to do here.
The joy is not when it's a Waterloo sparkling water.
This is joy in a can.
There's no joy for me when you do that.
Well, that's you.
Exactly.
And I think you're in the minority, and I'm here for the majority.
I just want people to know that you're cracking open a fizzy water that is blueberry flavored.
If this was actually like a Pacifico or something like that,
I'd be a lot more excited.
You'd also be solo. Because I'd get fired.
Yeah.
So, like, why? Like, yes.
You can tough through one beer. You can gut it out through one beer.
I had multiple drinks over the weekend. We had ourselves a night.
Yeah.
Waterloo. It was two drinks. Waterloo Blackberry Lemonade.
Yeah.
That's what I just... I'm not trying to pull the wool over anyone's
eyes. Relax.
I'm keeping it real.
E-L-A. X.
He's got bigger problems than spelling, so we can get to that.
I actually bought some of that. Seven in a row to win that back.
It feels like my fantasy team.
Yeah. Boy.
Guru, I'm ready to bring back the Jello and Dibs bit of the funeral take.
Oh, yeah,
because, dearly beloved, your take is, it's about to rest in.
And I don't like the guy.
Peace.
Like, his personality just turned me off, man. Rodgers is just...
But yet you rode with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the bet was over 9.5 wins.
Stop, dude. We got to move on.
I'm trying to let the audience know what we're talking about.
He said they were going to be in the AFC title game, too. Well, he's the problem. Like, we've all arrived at that. Like, when somebody... I've had this conversation with people before. You got people in your life where they go to eight jobs, and it's the boss's fault every time. You're like...
Been married six times.
Well, that hurt. That was a little too close to home. Thank you very much. But anyway, you get what I'm saying. Like... I know I'm the problem.
Okay.
Anyway.
I'm not mad at the Niners' defense. I'm mad, and tell me if I'm being too sometimey. Screaming. I thought with McCaffrey back, and it's a short sample size, the 1-for-3 in the red zone would be better, Dibs. Am I wrong? Like, now I'm starting to hone in. Is that a Kyle problem?
It's a small sample size.
Totally,
but
that looked like the Niners in eight games offensively.
Well, it's not a McCaffrey problem exclusively. It's a team problem. And I get to these days and, you know, I heard you guys a bunch today and I was like, man, Goo, they won the game.
They did.
So let's start with they won the game.
No doubt about it.
And let's follow that up with they're 5-4 and then follow that up with they won the game. Hmm. And then we get to they won the game. And then we can get down to, I don't know, all of the other little things. And for me, the red zone issue, it's an issue, but I've got bigger problems. And it's the special teams, which don't seem to get fixed. The defense was good. Brock Purdy in the last three quarters was great. Ricky Pearsall is real.
He's real.
And, you know, McCaffrey's healthy. So all the things that we can, like, nitpick for me feels more like a Tuesday or a Wednesday, but I get it. You know, you're mad.
But Willard could have lost that game.
But they didn't.
Right. But that's how I guess I live life is Norm taught me, go enjoy it, euphoria. But if we really want to put this under the microscope, you were 3-4 yards away from letting a team that had no business in the game, because you don't put them away.
Okay, Guru. So first, Dibs and I are not going to just blue sky this all day.
But since
we're here in this conversation... I unfortunately got to hear very little of your show today, which I hate when that happens, but the very little that I did hear, I think it might have been my favorite caller I've ever heard call this radio station.
Oh, I'm trying to...
Priest!
You know exactly...
They're too old!
The guy who went off on the idea of an embarrassing win.
Yes.
He hated that embarrassing win.
Whoever you are... bless you. I would like to send you, I don't know, a free hat or something. Like... My God, and this caller, I forget his name, but
he was great, though.
He's like, these two words should never go next to each other. For instance, the Chiefs are 9-0, except for their five embarrassing losses that they have, including the most embarrassing of them all, which was yesterday. And when Patrick Mahomes is running around the field looking like you at your son's basketball game, he's running. He did not look embarrassed. They only scored 16 points. At home, And they're the Chiefs with their fancy new wide receiver, DeAndre Hopkins. Were they embarrassed?
Nah.
So, like, there's
plenty. And that caller was responding to an earlier caller talked about the embarrassing nature.
There's no such thing as an embarrassing win.
Agreed.
There are embarrassing things that happened within the win, and we will get to that. You know, from Debo to Tabor to Nick Bosa or whatever. But there's no, like, what an odd thing that we've arrived to where we're holding the 49ers to a standard that I would argue no other NFL team is being held to right now. Which is that, like, not only do you have to win, but
that doesn't help me after 4 hours of the show.
No, I'm saying to Willard what he just said, I said to you, and I know it's wrong.
But now you're coming around.
No, I'm saying I'm holding them to last year's standard.
I don't even.
Or the standard they've created, Will. Four straight trips to the NFC Championship game. But, a Super Bowl I feel like you should have won.
But like even that caller pointed out that through nine games last year, they were 6-3. Right. Now they're 5-4. They've been 3-5 before.
Yep.
Like we're just here. We're in this moment. They haven't not made the Super Bowl yet.
Facts.
I know we don't think they're going to go.
But you don't know.
Yeah. Like, they won. That's the most important.
And you can look at yesterday and you can project it out and say, is that good enough to beat Detroit? No. Green Bay? No. Buffalo? Probably not. Miami? Maybe. You can play that game, but yesterday, that whatever that was good enough to beat Tampa. And Brock threw for 360.
Man, he was.
And, you know, the red zone is an issue. The defense was really good for the most part. They gave up a couple of long drives.
Damn near won you the game by keeping them from scoring.
And the special teams, again, let the other team back in the game. So if you want to look at the problems, we can do that. But for me, at the end of it, NFL games are hard to win. And you won one on the road with a 10 a.m. start. And I know you were coming off a bye, but 10 a.m. games for West Coast teams, no matter what, is very difficult. And you should have won that game 37-20, you didn't, but you still won. And, you know, we look at the Houston game, I'm sorry, Steiny, where, you know, the Rockets and the Warriors, you're up by 31. And if you would have blown that game,
totally different.
Oh, my God. Right. But you ended up winning it. You needed overtime, but you won it. And even last night against OKC, where that thing got closer than it should have, but you still won. Yeah.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM at HD1 San Francisco. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. What'd you think of Debo Samuel?
This is the rat on the table. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, though.
Sure. So, first off, happens all the time, not that big of a deal. Second of all, I don't buy for a second that all he said to him was lock in. He said something much meaner than that, for sure. But that happens. It's super, super emotional.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Third thing, yes, NFL players do look at kickers differently. They do not look at them as full-level human beings, and that's not okay, but that's just the way that it is. But the one thing that I will say that bothers me about it is I hear athletes often do the opposite of what they're now saying is okay. Here's what I mean by that. How many times, and I bet everyone in this room has experienced it, as a media member, how many times have you had an athlete say to you, you can't do what we do, so why do you get to have an opinion here? Why do you have these microphones? You don't know what we go through. Well, Debo, you have no idea how to kick a 49-yard field goal. You can't kick a 49-yard field goal. You haven't the slightest idea what that is. So, again, not the end of the world. Emotions, it happens, all of that stuff. But I don't ever want to hear Debo, and Debo has been one of these people before, do the whole, like, y'all don't know what you're talking about because you've never been there before, so you shouldn't get a say. Jake Moody gets to do the – you have no clue what it's like to be the kicker. And it's obviously not easy, or everybody would just make all the kicks.
Well, and the other part of it for me is if you're a teammate and you know that your teammate is struggling and it probably is mental, the best way to bring him around is not to go over there and confront him with words that make him feel, I don't know, defensive and have his long snapper have to step in and say, whoa, and then you throw, not a punch, but you throw an open hand at your long snapper trying
like
to get to the kicker.
Under the hand of the helmet.
Right, and I get you're frustrated, but, you know, take out your frustration in a different way. And if you're a leader, and Debo's a leader, he's the boombox guy, the best way to lead in that moment would be to throw an arm around him and say, you know what, Jake, we might need you a little bit later.
I need George Kittle.
Even though you've missed three and you've made two, you know what? Moody? We might need you here in about 12 minutes, so hang in there, big guy. There'll be brighter days ahead.
The only argument there, I guess, would be some people will say, well, A, it did work. I mean...
Yeah, because that's why he made the kick.
I don't know why he made the kick, but I
he made the kick because he's a good kicker.
I would say this. I have no idea what makes Jake Moody respond in terms of mental coaching, because you could argue that your way would be better or Debo's way would be better. I don't know. Clearly, Tabor Pepper didn't think so, and he knows Jake Moody probably better than Debo Samuel does. I'm not disagreeing with anything you just said. I know different people respond to different forms of coaching. Some like loud and in the face. Some want to be left alone. All of that stuff. I'm just sort of pointing out, I don't really like this idea that I hear from a lot of football players, which is, you're not really a football player. And therefore, which may be true, but that you don't get to act like what they do is easy or just inconsequential or whatever. It's not.
It's just
not easy.
Different. And those three guys, the punter, the long snapper, the holder, who is the punter, and the kicker, they are an island. And when they practice, they practice alone. And when they do their thing, they do it just those three. The long snapper does nothing but long snap. And the punter punts, and the punter holds, and the kicker kicks. And that's it. You're a three-man unit. So it's a little bit like a bullpen, although the bullpen is still kind of a part of the overall, like, pitching staff. But it used to be where, you know, your bullpen, your four or five guys, your setup guys, your long man, your closer, they were just their own little group. And you had your five starters, and you had your five or six bullpen guys, and it was just different. But in a football team, those three guys, they're isolated. They don't do anything else other than snap, hold, and kick. So
I just didn't like the timing of it right after a miss. That's the only thing that I didn't get, because that's you got to give him a minute after he just missed a big kick, and it was the third one he missed. But I don't know how big of a deal it is in the grand scheme of things. But hey, they won 23-20, and clearly you guys felt as though Guru was being too hard on the 49ers.
That's
what it sounded like.
When you get to a Monday, it's either a victory Monday or it's a defeat Monday. Yeah. So I think we can look at other things in a broader standpoint, a broader perspective, and say, okay, like, you know, what are we doing here? The offense, the red zone, still a problem. The defense, the pass rush, not great. Nick Bosa, I don't know.
What was
tackle a quarterback?
Thank God they won for that, Willard. He was
awful yesterday. But let's just say it. He was awful. He got one sack, and I thought on just about every other play, he was terrible.
I think awful's pretty hard, but
I don't.
You know,
I don't.
You're basing that on what he makes. So,
what else should it be?
No, really not.
Was Okawanu awful?
Well, hold on a second.
He's not the highest paid defensive player in the game.
That's what I'm saying.
But that's not the only
thing. He's basing it on his payroll.
No, but I'm also basing it on who he is and what he's achieved in the past. He's Nick Bosa. So it's not just about the money. It's about the fact that you are and have proven to be one of the best pass rushers in the game. You weren't yesterday.
Man.
Like, if we're going to, this is no, to me, it's no different than Jake Moody. Dude, you're better than that. Don't miss three kicks in one game. You're better than that. Mm. And Nick Bosa, you had almost zero pressures in the game. You had one sack. That was great. Bucky Irving shredded you.
And a man.
Shedded you like you were a feather in really important points. And then, I mean, the poetry of Baker Mayfield. Baker. Oh, who's laughing now?
OU, Ohio State.
Quarterback.
That was
a great
quarterback.
Play.
What was stiff-armed you and
play.
Took you for ring around the rosy to keep a game alive.
I called it square dancing.
You're supposed to be one of the fiercest pass rushers in the game.
Dibs.
Like, that was
Dibs.
Was embarrassing.
At some point, you have to tip the cap to another player, another highly regarded player who made a play.
You can do both.
Yeah,
you can do
he
both.
Was the and in that moment,
I
can give Baker credit and still say what I said. Nick Bosa
you
was
can say whatever
terrible.
You want to say.
He was terrible in that game.
In that moment, Baker Mayfield made a play that was Mahomesian.
He was allowed to make a play because of the passiveness from the.
Yeah, he
the
grabbed
dragon.
Him. He grabbed him, and he didn't.
But he let's go for a walk. What are we doing? Grab him.
It was funny.
Yeah, pull him down, Bosa. Thank God they won that game, because that play would something I don't think we all
like. No. I think we can split the difference
play
here.
Play Baker.
Like, I'm with you. There's no such thing as an embarrassing win, but we can talk about,
of course,
how frustrating
that was. Your tweet. That's the one I was going to break
out
on.
I mean, like the tension in watching that football game could not have been turned up higher. It was absurd. And do you all have the same thing happen to you when they go up 10-0? Every time.
Don't like hearing about it.
They go up 10-0, and I'm like, here we go.
Yep.
Watch this.
Yep.
Air out of the balloon every time.
Why?
Because they're underachieving. Constantly underachieving.
Well, and your guy, Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
Again, at the end of a half, he refuses to manage the clock in an aggressive fashion.
Can you explain this one to me? Because I heard them talking about
it. Oh, we had it on the vine.
Well, they got the ball back with 8 seconds or something.
Not in the first half.
Yes. Look at the drive chart. You can make
a
face.
There was a drive.
There was a drive.
Then they gave it back. And then they got it back.
And then the Bucs had a drive. And then the show me the clipboard. I looked at
that. It was the previous drive.
That's what I'm asking you.
Yes. And they got it back with 1:08 to go.
So what was wrong with that? They missed a field goal.
Pass to Juwan Jennings, 30 yards, no timeout. And you had timeouts to burn. So Juwan gets 30, and now you're at the 38-yard line, and you just...
Let it go
up there, and the clock runs.
But the clock didn't become an issue. They got to fourth
but
down.
But had you used the timeout, Marcus might have got a touchdown instead of settling for the field goal attempt.
They could have run the ball. If you use your timeout, now you've got, I don't know, a minute left, and now you have the option to run it. You don't use your timeout, and so now, first and 10 at 38, you've got like 38 seconds. Now you have to pass, and they know you have to pass.
Who the hell?
If you use your timeout, you then have a threat to run the football.
I agree.
Okay.
And you don't do that. Kyle.
I'm not going to disagree. I also don't. Like, people don't run the ball when you're in the 2-minute drill.
You do when you have timeouts.
No, like, it wasn't even working, by the way. They averaged 3 yards a carry yesterday. Let's call it what it was. Christian McCaffrey's biggest plays yesterday were the passing game.
They had 5-6 men on that line. They were like, you ain't beating us with the run.
Like, I mean, I honestly think that the 49ers right now, for everybody who wants Kyle to run the ball when he doesn't run the ball, that's kind of their problem, actually, is their red zone issue is that they're predictable. They run the ball on first down, and the defense is waiting for them to run the ball on first down. And then they're at 2nd and 9, and now everybody knows what you're going to do. Mm. And you're stuck because everyone's going to just block up the end zone because you're in a small field.
How many timeouts did they take into half?
At least one. I'd have to check. But
I think, in general, I'm with Dick. I just don't understand why they wait. They have three, not the 49ers, teams in general. Three timeouts left, 1 minute to go. You have a 20-yard chunk play. Get it to midfield. Say, call timeout.
No doubt.
Call timeout right there. Yeah. You still have two, but I do get frustrated when it's like they're trying to just be perfect. Like, let's get up and quick spike it. And then let's try to, like, you don't get extra.
It's not aggressive,
you don't get extra points for scoring without using a timeout.
You know what his answer would be? I'm not Kyle's. I'm not disagreeing with that.
It would be, I want to run the clock out with zero.
He doesn't want to leave time. What if you do hot knife through butter and you go down and you score and then there's a minute 12 left on the clock and then Tampa Bay goes down and they score.
But they got the ball with a minute 8 and Grandy was just telling me that they had all three timeouts at that point. So you go 30 yards into their territory, use a timeout. Man. It's okay. It's okay at that point to use a timeout.
But the drive stalled is part of that conversation.
It stalled because they had to throw it because they had no because they let the clock run. And you know,
you and I can debate this
until the cows come home, but you have all three timeouts. If you throw it and you get 30 yards, you use a timeout. Now you have options.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
And this to me is a pattern of Kyle Shanahan going into the half where he doesn't do that.
Because he doesn't want to let the I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just telling you what he has said in the past.
Right.
He doesn't want to leave any time on the clock.
Yes.
He doesn't want to leave any time on the clock.
But we go back to the 19th Super Bowl where Lynch is in the sweet timeout.
But he left time on the clock because the Buccaneers got the ball back.
And they got no points.
You're right.
So, and I'm sure he wasn't banking on the fact that his kicker would miss the first of his three misses.
But he just came out for a 49-yard field goal.
You didn't even get into a spot where it was an easier field goal.
Well, something was going on with his body, so maybe that led to him missing the kick.
No, like if that... If you're back, you play.
Last thing for me before we go, our guy's back.
Yeah.
One thing about D-Ball I didn't like is you're punching down. You wouldn't have done that to Trent or Warner, and nobody would have got up in your face when you drop or these jet runs don't go for nothing.
Yeah.
That's why it was a bad look. I just felt like you were doing it because you could.
So you're saying if Fred Warner misses a tackle.
D-Ball, you ain't saying nothing.
Interesting.
And that outfit he wore to the game was just hideous.
Yeah.
Good Lord! Whatever everyone's fashion is, that's fine.
I was going to compare Debo to another Bay Area athlete, but I'm not going to.
Draymond.
It's a clean slate.
I got you.
It's a clean slate.
On 95.7.
There you go.
The game. Can still do that.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.